Ok, da er det fredag, og vi skal lese en ny dom. Dette er en av to dommer som kom 7. mars 2024. Altså i år. Så når jeg leser dette her, så det ikke sånn kjempelenge siden den dommen kom. Og dette en av to dommer i 7. mars, begge to handler om terskelen for hva en personopplysning og hvordan rettsreglene i Breyer-dommen skal forstås. Og denne dommen her, det en anke av en avgjørelse mot et EU-organ, hvor det ble satt en annen standard for hva en personopplysning og identifikasjonskravet enn det som gjelder etter GDPR. EU-organene de har altså for eksempel European Data Protection Supervisor, som det europeiske personvern, altså datatilsynet, personverntilsynet, datatilsynet, har for eksempel egne regler for hvordan de skal behandle personopplysninger. De følger ikke GDPR, men de har tilsvarende regler. Så denne her avgjørelsen gjelder de bestemmelsene. Og det en anke av en sak hvor identifikasjonskravet ble ansett å være lavere for EU-organet enn det for etter GDPR. Så denne dommen her opphever den. Ikke sant? Det OC som da klager versus the commission. Og alle dommer som starter med T, det er dommer mot EU-domstolene. Ikke mot EU-domstolene, men mot EU-organene. Skal vi se. Og som vanlig så pleier jeg bare hoppe over legal context. Men jeg leser gjerne det første, liksom, det første avsnittet. Ja, ikke sant. Yes. By her appeal, OC seeks to have set aside the judgment of the General Court of the European Union of May 4th, 2022, OC versus Commission. By which it rejected her action under Article 268 TFEU, seeking compensation for the damage she allegedly suffered as a result of press release number 13, 2020 of the European Anti-Fraud Office of May 5th, 2020. Entitled Olaf Investigation Uncovers Research Funding Fraud in Greece. The press release at issue, in that it allegedly unlawfully processed her personal data and conveyed false information about her. Stemmer. Så dette her handler da om en sak hvor klager har anført at denne pressemeldingen inneholder personopplysninger om henne, og vurderingen som domstolen gjorde tidligere, det var at denne pressemeldingen ikke inneholdt personopplysninger, for det var ikke mulig for the general public å identifisere klager gjennom pressemeldingen. Og Breyer-dommen slår fast at det ikke det som vurderingstema. Vurderingstema hvorvidt behandlingsansvarlig, altså kommisjonen, kunne identifisere klager. Så jeg litt interessert i å lese den dommen, fordi at det sånn typisk sånn litt sånn skal vi se, the appeal. Jeg hopper liksom litt over også arguments of the parties. Jeg tror den dommen ganske kort. Skal vi se. Findings of the court. Skal vi se. Dette tror jeg den gamle dommen. Skal vi se. Men det kanskje det ikke det. Nei, jeg tror det bare at jeg tror ankedommene kanskje ser litt annerledes ut enn det jeg vant til. Jeg tror kanskje vi bare må lese liksom hele det appeal da. Skal vi se. Ja, ok. Men da tenker jeg at vi bare starter på the appeal. In support of her appeal, the appellant rises on, relies on three grounds for appealing, alleging one, da skal jeg begynne å undersøke, misinterpretation of the concept of identifiable natural person in article 3.1 of the regulation, dette da tilsvarende regelverk, men for EU-domstolene, unnskyld, EU-organene, ikke domstolene, Jesus Christ, misinterpretation of article 9.1 of the regulation, and article 48.1 of the charter read in conjunction with article 6.2 of the European Convention of Protection of Human Rights and Fundamental Freedoms concerning the scope of presumption of innocence. And three, distortion of evidence relating to the infringement of article 41 og så videre. Så det som jeg mest interessert I, det det første det første grunnlaget da. Det med at man har tolket identifiable natural person feil. All right, A, first ground of appeal. But the first ground of appeal, which is divided into four parts, the applicant submits that the general court infringed EU law by concluding in paragraph 91 and 92 of the judgment under appeal that she had not established that the press release at issue alone had allowed the appellant to be identified, but also means reasonably likely to be used by a reader, with the result that the information contained in that press release fell outside of the concept of personal data within the meaning of Article 3, blah, blah, blah. Arguments of the parties, findings of the court. But the first and second parts of the first ground of appeal, the appellant complains in essence that the general court made several errors of law when it held that the information in the press release at issue fell outside the scope of personal data within the meaning of Article 3. Whether the first part of the first ground of appeal is admissible. Okay. Jeg bare hopper over den, for dette handler om prosess. Jeg hater litt prosess. Merits of the first and second parts of the first ground of appeal. As a preliminary point, it should be noted that the definition of the concept of personal data, referred in Article 3.1, exempt i GDPR, så det andre, så det artikkel 4 og så videre, det der definisjonen står, men det det samme definisjonen. Ja, ikke sant? The regulation is essentially identical to that of Article 4.1 of the GDPR. In addition, as is apparent from recital 4 and 5 of the regulation, also GDPR, men regulert for EU-organene, and from Article 2.3 and Article 98 of the GDPR, the EU legislature intended to establish a regime for the protection of personal data by union institutions, bodies, offices, agencies, which is equivalent to that of the GDPR, in order to ensure uniform and consistent protection of natural persons with regard to the processing of their personal data within the European Union. It is therefore necessary to ensure that Article 3.1 of the regulation and Article 4.1 of the GDPR are interpreted in the same way. Ikke sant? Dette burde si seg selv, men la oss understreke det. Article 3.1 of the regulation states that personal data means any information relating to an identified or identifiable natural person. The court has held that the use of the expression any information in the definition of the concept of personal data in Article 4.1 of the GDPR reflects the aim of the EU legislature to assign a wide scope to that concept, which potentially encompasses all kinds of information. All kinds of information, not only objective, but also subjective in the form of opinions and assessments, provided that it relates to the data subject. Information relates to an identified or identifiable natural person, where by reason of its content, purpose, or effect, it is linked to an identifiable person. With regard to the identifiable nature of a natural person, Article 3.1 of the regulation states that an identifiable natural person is one who can be identified indirectly or directly or indirectly, in particular by reference to an identifier such as a name and an identification number, location data, an online identifier, or to one or more factors specific to the physical, psychological, genetic, mental, economic, cultural, or social identity of that natural person. The use by the EU legislature of the word indirectly suggests that in order to treat information as personal data, it is not necessary that the information alone allows the data subject to be identified. Og her refererer det til Breyer-dommen, som sier noe sånn som at sier mange ting, men det den dommen som har rettsregelen for hva en personopplysning er, og da særlig dette identitetskravet. Det ikke den ordlyden i Breyer-dommen sier vel at liksom, informasjon trenger ikke å være på behandlingsansvarliges hender alene, noe sånt. Men kan være forskjellige steder, så lenge den behandlingsansvarlige har lovlig tilgang til informasjonen som så kan identifisere den registrerte, da det snakk om personopplysninger. Recital 16 of the regulation states in that respect that in order to determine whether a natural person is identifiable, account should be taken of all the means reasonably likely to be used, either by the controller or by another person, to identify the natural person directly or indirectly. Thus, for information to be treated as personal data, it is not required that all the information is enabling the identification of the data subject must be in the hands of one person. Yes. Ikke sant? Dette Breyer-dommen all over again. In particular, the fact that the additional information is necessary to identify the data subject does not mean that the data at issue cannot be classified as personal data. It is also necessary, however, that the possibility of combining the data in question with additional information constitutes a means reasonably likely to be used to identify the data subject. To ascertain whether means are reasonably likely to be used in order to identify a natural person, account should be taken, according to Recital 16 of the regulation, of all objective factors, such as the cost of and the amount of time required for identification, taking into consideration the available technology at the time of the processing and technological developments. In that regard, the court has already held that a means is not reasonably likely to be used to identify the data subject, where the identification of that person is prohibited by law or impossible in practice, on account of the fact that it requires a disproportionate effort in terms of time, cost, and labor, so that the risk of identification appears in reality to be insignificant. Også igjen, dette fremgår av Breyer-dommen, men jeg liker særlig den der siste formuleringen her. The risk of identification appears in reality to be insignificant. Bra. In the present case, in the context of its examination of whether the press release at issue contains personal data within the meaning of Article 3, the General Court recalled in paragraph 49 of the judgment under appeal that only acts or conducts attributable to a union institution or body can give rise to liability on the part of the European Union. It inferred therefrom in that paragraph 49 of that that the identification of the appellant must be result from the press release at issue and could not derive from external factors extraneous to the conduct of which Olaf was accused, with the result that it had examined the information contained in that press release alone, which could be used in the present case to allow its readers to identify the appellant. As regards next, the disclosure of the appellant's identity by the German journalist who had published an article on social media, Twitter, relating to the accusations made by Olaf in the press release at issue concerning her, the General Court held in paragraphs 82 and 87 of the judgment under appeal that that disclosure could not be taken into account. Ikke sant? Så da ble ikke sant? Et klager identifisert av en journalist, og det tok ikke domstolen I betraktning. Since that journalist was unable to identify the appellant solely basis on the basis of the identifiers presented in the press release at issue, and it had been necessary for him to use identifying factors external and additional to that press release. In reaching that conclusion, the General Court found inter alia in paragraphs 76 and 81 of the judgment under appeal that that journalist was not an average reader, but a professional investigative journalist specialized in science who had subjective and external knowledge of the applicant. However, the question whether information contained in a press release emanating from a union institution or body is covered by the concept of personal data within the meaning of Article 3, cannot be confused with a question relating to conditions necessary for the European Union to incur non-contractual liability. That first question must be assessed exclusively in the light of the conditions laid down by that provision, and therefore contrary to what the General Court held in paragraph 49 of that judgment under appeal, cannot depend on considerations relating to the impunibility of an act of the European Union. However, the question whether information contained in the press release cannot be confused with the question relating to conditions necessary for the European to incur non... Okay, så de skiller spørsmålet concept of personal data med liksom spørsmålet om hva nødvendig for non-contractual liability. That first question must be assessed exclusively in the light of the conditions laid down by that provision, and therefore contrary, it cannot depend on considerations relating to the imputability of an act of the European Union. 2 sekunder, jeg skal bare jeg vet ikke helt hva imputability bunnen min Okay. Skal vi se. Possible to impute or ascribe accusable. Ja, ikke sant? The responsibility of an act of the European Union cannot depend on considerations relating to ikke sant? Jeg tror jeg skjønner det. The first question must be assessed exclusively in the right of the conditions laid down by that provision. Ikke sant? Og kan ikke ta andre ting I betraktning. Ok, la oss lese videre og se hva det betyr. In that latter regard, as is apparent from the considerations set out in paragraphs 48 to 51 of the present judgment, it is inherent in the indirect identification of a person that additional information must be combined with the data at issue for the purposes of identifying the person concerned. It also follows that the fact that additional information comes from a person or source other than that of the controller of the data in question in no way rules out the identifiable nature of a person, contrary to what the general court held in paragraphs 49 and 87 of the judgment under appeal. Jeg bare markerer det. Ikke sant? Og det bare et godt poeng at liksom, her det snakk om indirekte identifisering, og da det annen informasjon som kommer inn og hva skal jeg si, kommer inn I tillegg da, til informasjonen I for identifisering. Furthermore, the regulation does not lay down any conditions as regard the persons capable of identifying the person whom to whom an item of information is linked. Since recital 16 of that regulation refers not only to the controller, but also to another person. In the particular case of a press release issued by an investigating authority, in order to inform the public about the outcome of an investigation, that press release is, by its very nature, intended for journalists in particular, with the result that they cannot be distinguished from an average reader, to whom paragraph 76 of the judgment under appeal refers. Ikke sant? However, the fact that an investigative journalist has, as in the present case, disseminated the identity of a person who is subject of a press release, cannot alone lead to the conclusion that the information contained in the press release must necessarily be classified as personal data. Okay. As regard the question. An exempt from the obligation to examine whether, yeah, okay. Så det at en gravende journalist har identifisert noen utifra informasjonen som foreligger I pressemeldingen, det betyr ikke automatisk at man identifiserbar. Man må først fortsatt vurdere dette konkret, okay? As regards the question whether the general court erred in law in the classification for legal purposes of the facts, as regards the question whether the appellant is identifiable, the press release at issue contains, as the general court observed, in essence, in paragraphs 53 to 55 of the judgment under appeal, a certain amount of information relating to the applicant, which might allow her to be identified. Så, namely, her, hva det? Jo, skal vi se, namely, her gender, her nationality, and profession, that mentioned that she was a young person, and that she was responsible for the funded research project at issue, as well as the reference to the amount of the grant, the awarding body, namely Baden-Var, the nature of the entity which hosted the project, and the country in which it was located, namely a university in Greece. the reference to the father of the person in question and the fact that he pursued his profession within that entity and the approximate number of research workers, researchers working for that project under the leadership of the person in question. Ikke sant? Så det de sier her, det at altså, dette innholdet I pressemeldingen, og alt det gjør at det mulig å identifisere ikke sant, mulig å identifisere vedkommende. Og da det snakk om personopplysninger. Det gir mye mening for meg. Okay. Contrary to the conclusion reached by the general court in paragraph 68 of the judgment under appeal, information relating to gender of a person who is subject to the press release, that person's nationality, his or her father's occupation, the amount of grant for scientific project, and the geographical location. Så her så, liksom, tar det enda mer ned. Vi sier at gender of the person, nasjonalitet, hva vedkommendes far jobber med, the amount of the grant for the scientific project, and the geographical location of the entity taken together contain information that may contain information that may allow the person who is the subject of that press release to be identified, in particular by those working in the same scientific field, ikke sant? In particular by those working in the same ikke sant? Field and familiar with that person's professional background. Yip, yip, yip. In that context, the court's case law referred to in paragraph 51 of the present judgment does not allow the risk of identification of the data subject to be regarded as its insignificant. Ikke sant? In that regard, for persons working in the same scientific field, information such as that referred to in the preceding paragraph of the present judgment taken together can be used to identify the person concerned without that identification entailing a disproportionate effort in terms of time, cost, and labor. Moreover, contrary to the commission's contention, the appellant was not required to adduce evidence that she had actually been identified by one of those persons, since no such condition is laid down in Article 3.1 of the regulation, which merely requires that requires a person to be identifiable. Ikke sant? Muligheten der. Man trenger ikke å bevise at det faktisk at vedkommende faktisk har blitt identifisert. Furthermore, it is apparent from paragraph 66 of the judgment under appeal, the description on the ERCEA website of the 70 or so project funded under that agency, the host institutions of which were located in Greece, contained several key factors enabling internet users to find the information sought, such as the name of the project manager or the name of the host institution or even the amount of funding. Ikke sant? The press release concerning allegedly unlawful conduct, such as fraud or corruption, is likely to arouse interest, ikke sant? Among the public, and to induce readers, in particular journalists, to investigate the person who is the subject of the press release. In such a context, the effort involved in carrying out such searches on the website, such as that of ERCEA, by browsing the description of some 70 founded projects listed on that website, combined with other internet searches, likely to make it possible to obtain the name and other identifiers of the person who is the subject of the press release at issue, does not appear to be in any way disproportionate, with the result that the risk of identification of the appellant by journalists or other persons unfamiliar with her professional background could not be regarded as insignificant within the meaning of the case law cited in paragraph 51 of the present judgment. It follows from the foregoing that the general court in paragraphs 49 to 87 of the judgment under appeal erred in law in finding that the identification of the appellant would not derive from external or additional factors extraneous to the conduct of which Olaf was accused. In addition, the general court erred in law in its classification for legal purposes of the facts before its when it held that in paragraph 68 of that judgment that the identifiers in the press release at issue did not reasonably allow the appellant to be identified, either by the basis of a simple objective reading of that press release or by the means of means reasonably likely to be used by one of its readers. Consequently, the general court was also wrong in paragraphs 91 and 92 of the judgment under appeal to hold that the information contained in the press release at issue was not covered by the concept of personal data. Ikke sant? Yes. Ja. Kjempebra. Det er egentlig det jeg mest interessert I her, for det andre går på går på mer sånn andre ting brutt, og det ja. Så da refers the case back to the General Court of the European Union. Veldig kult. Jeg synes dommen interessant, fordi at den gir en veldig sånn tydelig ikke sant? Eksempel på at alle disse personopplysningene sett I sammenheng, det eller alle disse opplysningene sett I sammenheng, gjør det mulig å identifisere, og derfor det en personopplysning. Derfor inneholder denne pressemeldingen personopplysninger om klager. Og det veldig interessant. Flott, da gjenstår det bare for meg å si takk for nå, og så ønsker jeg på gjensyn. Ha det bra.